everyone. I'm delighted to be hosting another episode for you all today, and I'm really looking forward to today's conversation. As someone who's worked in recruitment industry for many years myself, I've seen firsthand some of the reasons why today's topic is a really important one. So I'd like to welcome our guest, Dana Stevens. Dana is an approved Careering into Motherhood community coach who specializes in career coaching with a focus on helping women change careers so that they can get unstuck and live happier, more fulfilled lives at home and at work. Dana has herself changed careers successfully 3 times, so I'm sure we will learn a lot from her today. Hi, Dana. It's lovely to meet you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, it's an absolute pleasure to be here.
So we are going to get into quite a chunky topic today. And actually, I was thinking about it in preparation for today's conversation, particularly in the context of recruitment. You know, my background is recruitment. So one of the things that, you know, we see a lot and that we advise a lot of clients on is to maybe remove the number of essential criteria that they have in job descriptions, or, you know, to limit the request for desirable criteria on job descriptions, just because we know that women tend to want to meet all the criteria of a job before they have the confidence to go ahead and apply. Whereas men typically would, you know, potentially look at 70% of the criteria and be happy to apply. And as a result, it often can deter women from applying for jobs that they are perfectly capable of doing and have the potential for and experience. So it just made me think, in the context of a career change, that is potentially, you know, also a point at which people maybe get cold feet with actually pushing through with that change, you know. So I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that, and whether it's something that you do hear your clients talking about.
Yeah, definitely. It's something that comes up all the time when we get to that stage of the process, and we'll talk about kind of the right stage to get into those job descriptions. But ultimately, most of the women I'm working with, they'll come to me with a job description and they'll be like, oh, I'd love to do this, but I really don't think I can.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, talk to me about where the gaps are. One good trick I always say as well is, if you're looking at a job description, start with what you think you can do. Your mm-hmm. brain's naturally going to go to all the things that you think you can't do.
Yeah.
Right. But a great trick is to start, get the job description, print it out if you need to, get a green highlighter and start highlighting all the bits of that job that you can do. And usually there's quite a lot of green, more green than we think.
Yeah.
And then you can go back, by all means, take a pink highlighter, do the couple of things that you're not sure about, you're not 100% convinced about. And generally, then when you're looking at it, you'll be like, oh, actually, there's quite a wash of green here.
Yeah.
There is more than I thought I could do here. Like you say, naturally, as women, we tend to think we have to have 90% of the criteria, often 100% of the criteria before we apply.
Yeah.
But it just isn't the case. And I often say to people, you know, a job description in many instances is a wish list.
Exactly.
You know, if you've ever been involved in writing one, you're hoping that someone can come in and do all of these things and have all of these experience. And it might even have been written by multiple people who've got different agendas coming in. And the reality is, there's going to be very few people that 100% match the criteria.
Yeah.
And when you're interviewing people and someone comes in maybe with 70% of the criteria, you're also looking at what their personality is like, what their values are like. Do you think they'll be a good fit with the team? And you're weighing that up against someone else who might maybe over index on something else but might not be as such a good fit. So there's so many other factors when you're recruiting apart from just the job description. So I always say that to people, don't let that put you off, and notice that your brain will always go to the things that you can't do. So you really can be intentional and focus it on, well, what are all the things that I can do? Start there first. Your brain won't want to, but you can force it to.
That's amazing. Sort of tip, I think, you know, just really from the outset, that will build someone's confidence, won't it, to actually look at it through a positive lens. Actually, there's a lot that I can do in this role, and being very conscious about that process. So yeah, thanks for that. I think that's really, really helpful. Just coming on to, I've listened to a fair bit of your content, and it was really interesting to hear the journey that you've personally been on in terms of getting to where you are today, you know, in terms of your own business, etc. Would you mind just sharing a little bit about your own journey? Because you've obviously been through career changes successfully yourself, and you know, you'll definitely be coming at this from a lot of personal experience. And so I was just wondered if you could just tell us a little bit about that. I think it involves some traveling abroad potentially.
Well, my parents have always lived abroad, but that's not really, well, in some respects that has affected my perception of change and ability to embrace change. But actually my own career change journey is ended up at the World Service, and I absolutely loved it, and it was my dream job. And so when I was at university and I was telling everyone this is what I'm going to do, I was going to be a radio producer. So whilst I loved it and I was getting loads of great work experience, what I realized is that after a while, the career progression opportunities weren't there, because it's such a great job that actually, where I wanted to go, moving in, let's say to Radio 4, lots of people there, they weren't moving on because it's such a great job. So at that point in my career, I was like, actually, I want to progress. I want new challenges. And I've reached a great level of production here, but I'm not going to keep learning. And that was important for me. But the reason I say that to people is it was a huge identity shift to go from something that had been like my dream job and to have to let that go and be like, I'm just making a decision that this is no longer a good fit for what I want in my life. And lots of people face that, right? They might be doing something that is such a big part of their identity. Maybe they're a teacher or a nurse and they've always thought that would do. And then that's what they were going to be or who they were going to be. And then they have to get to this point where they're like, it's no longer a match. And I always say to people at that point, you don't have to like blame yourself or even blame the industry you're in. It's not that something's broken or you're broken. It's just no longer a match for where you are in your life. I ended up moving into content production, ended up doing lots of website stuff for the BBC, social media, and moved out into kind of content marketing, advertising. Worked my way up as a strategist until my last job before I was doing this. I was working for a big advertising company, big advertising agency in London. Loads of big name clients, like we had Nationwide, Simple Cosmetics, lots of different, household brands. And it was a high stress job. It was a big corporate job. I was head of department. It was lots of responsibility, a big team. And on paper, it looked like I had, everything that a successful career would want to give me. But it just didn't work with where my life was then. By that point, I had two young children. I was trying to juggle the demands of the job, the needs of my team, family life, pitching all hours, till the wee hours of the morning. It just wasn't conducive with family life. And again, it was a huge wrench for me to go, this has been such a big identity, part of my identity for so long, and now I'm going to change it. Am I really going to do that? And it's different when you're older, when you're in your 40s, as lots of people I work with are, you've got mortgages, you've got responsibilities.
Absolutely.
It feels like there's way more things, obstacles in your way, but there are ways around them. And I spent probably 18 months interviewing in different roles, getting offered different roles, not taking them, really trying to figure it out. And it was when I was working with a coach that that just made everything much
Shifted
quicker.
your thinking,
And it got me thinking about I can decide what I do. I don't have to stay on this career path. I don't have to stay in advertising. I could step outside completely. And it just opened my mind to completely different possibilities. And it was so transformative for me that that's why I was like, I love coaching. I love how it makes me think differently about myself, about my life. I want to do this. And that's why I ended up retraining as a coach. And that's what I do full time now. And I specialize in helping women change careers, typically in midlife, and find something that's more fulfilling and that's more fitting with the life that they want and need now, or the life that they're going to need for the next 5, 10, 15 years.
Brilliant. And hopefully later we'll come on to that, because I'd be really interested in finding out from you a little bit more about what someone could expect when they are working with a coach and the sort of journey and support that you would typically take someone on. So, hopefully we'll have time to touch on that. But just at one point in what you mentioned earlier was you mentioned almost that visualization of someone in their, their maybe their dream job or what they as a child maybe thought, oh, I'm going to be a teacher. And it's quite difficult to perhaps visualize yourself as something quite different. So I wonder if that is something that, we have to also consider in that change process, is visualizing ourselves doing something entirely different in some instances and not being too stuck. I think that's your phrase. You use that word so much, that being stuck in a place. So I wonder how much that visualization can potentially help us sometimes unlock some of those barriers.
Yeah, it's crucial. It's crucial. And because of that reason, as you said there, because of that feeling of being stuck, I use that word a lot in when I'm talking in my marketing, when I'm talking to people, because it's the most common thing that people come and say to me. It's the number one thing people say to me, clients, potential clients. They come to me and say, I feel stuck.
Yeah.
I feel lost. I don't know how I got here. I don't know how to get out of this. Either because, like you say, they're in a job that they thought was going to be their identity and now doesn't work.
Yeah.
Or for many people, it's they've fallen into a career mm-hmm. that doesn't feel quite right for them. They don't know how they got there. Other people maybe have been made redundant, or other people have just kind of worked so hard to get where they are, and suddenly they're looking around going, is this it? Is this what I've worked so hard for? I thought this was going to make me happy. I thought getting to this place or this age and stage of life was going to make me happy, and it isn't.
Yeah.
And now I don't know what to do about it. So a big part of what I do with people is helping them to kind of, you know, let go of some of the expectations they might be holding on to. And some of them are societal,
yeah.
some of them are gendered, right? And really get in touch with what it is that they really want and need from the next chapter. And then, yeah, we do get into visualizing what that looks like and allowing ourselves the freedom to imagine what could be and what could be possible, because that's something we just don't do very often as adults.
Yeah,
you know, allow ourselves the space
to do that,
to imagine what we could want.
Yeah, brilliant. So what, in your experience then, Dana, have been some of the biggest mistakes that you've seen women make in that process of considering a career change?
Well, the biggest thing that is the most common is that people start at the end. By that I mean that they start at what I consider the end of the process, what I think is the right step. So typically people come to me and they're like, I've been scrolling LinkedIn, I'm on there every night for hours, I'm looking at job sites, I can't find anything, I don't know what it is, I feel really stuck. And I always say it's because of that. You're scrolling LinkedIn because you're hoping that this magical, mythical, perfect job is just going to suddenly appear mm-hmm. and like all your problems will be solved. Or you're hoping that somebody, you know, in your network is just going
to
jump
out
and sort of say, reach out and say, here's this perfect job. You're sort of hoping that something based on what you already know and have been doing will kind of be the perfect fit for you. But the reality is, if you're unhappy with your life the way it is, if you're unhappy with the type of job that you're doing, searching for something new based on where you've been in the past is just not going to work. And typically people try and sort of look for a job and go, could I do that? I could maybe make that work. And they're trying to shoehorn themselves into it. Mm-hmm. Or they may be thinking like, oh, some people who are very, very stressed and going through, you know, maybe a difficult situation at work might be thinking, oh, maybe I'll just go and work in a cafe or take something that's less stress and then I'll feel better.
Yeah.
But typically that doesn't work out because that can erode your confidence as well.
So and not great for gender balance reasons either, if people then sort of decide to back out, because often it's at that point in their career where maybe they have got young children and, you know, that's when we know women drop out of, you know, the professional career ladder, which is damaging in itself.
Yeah, exactly. So what I always say to people is like, instead of trying to make decisions based on where you've been and yeah. who you've been in the past, you want to start thinking about the future version of you. Like, yes, by all means, we're going to be looking at your skills and your experiences and the personal qualities you've got now. But which of those do you actually want to lean into for the next chapter? Which of those are going to be important to you in the next stage of your life? You really want to work out what is important to you now. What are the values that you have now that are going to be different from 5, 10, 15 years ago? What are the kind of working environments that you want to be involved in? What kind of connections do you want or need to have from your colleagues? All of these things change over our lifestyle, so after our lifetime. So it's completely yeah. makes sense that what we want and need in our 40s is very different from what we want and need in our 20s. And sometimes we haven't given ourselves the chance to really sit and think about that. So I always say to people, you've got to start with you first, who you are now, the reality. Get honest of who you are now, what you want and need, and who you want to be in this next chapter, how you want your life to look. And that includes what care responsibilities you might have, whether that's elderly parents or young children or even pets, right? Or like what you need for your mental health. Again, lots of people that come to me are here because they've experienced burnout, you know, or they're right on the brink of burnout, or maybe they've had a very extreme clinical burnout. So we have to take all of those things into consideration. We've got to really evaluate holistically how you want your life to look, and then go and see what type of work could facilitate that lifestyle, because that's the way you're going to find a next chapter that really works for you, rather than trying to shoehorn yourself into a version of work that hasn't been working for you for a long time.
Brilliant. And just because I'm a little bit of a stickler for practical tips, if there was a practical tip that you could give the listeners today on doing exactly that, going back to sort of not starting at the end, but go back to where you want to be, that piece, that bit of preparation, I suppose, what would be one or two practical tips that our listeners could go away and perhaps put into practice in the next couple of weeks? Or is that too
So,
idealistic? I don't
no,
know.
no, 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 no. We'll go into it. The first thing is to literally stop scrolling. Like, it's a
Yeah,
really
okay.
hard thing to do. A really hard thing to do because we feel like we're busy. We feel like we're doing something proactive. So,
Yeah.
the first thing I always say to people is like, stop scrolling. Start the soul searching. That's what you've got to do. Put the phone away at night, and instead use that time. Take that 20 minutes or hour or however many hours you're scrolling, and sit down with a piece of paper and get honest with yourself. So you might start with, what has changed about my values? What is different? What do I value? And by values, I mean not values in an organizational sense, but what do you value in your life? What do you value in your interactions with people? What do you value in terms of, like, it might be honesty, it might be growth opportunities, it might be intellectual stimulation. And then think about, what do you really desire in this next chapter? And be really honest. No one else is going to look at this, right? So you can put money. If it's more money, be honest and put more money. People are often like, oh, maybe I shouldn't want money. Like, but be honest about it. For most people as well that I speak to, it's a sense of purpose, a sense of finding something more fulfilling. They want to make a difference and see some sort of tangible change. Really get honest about what that could look like for you. It doesn't have to be a big life-changing, societal-changing purpose, but what does that mean for you? What does, being more purposeful mean to you? Not purpose with a big P, but in your life, in your community, in your family. And then think about your own skills and experiences. Again, a bit like before, where our brain's going to go to the negative and want us to think about what we don't have. You want to intentionally start with what you do have. What are the hard skills that you have? What are the soft skills that you have? What are the personal qualities that you have? And your brain's going to want to tell you about all the things you don't have. Don't go there. Tell it to be quiet. And then, with that list of all those personal qualities, hard skills, soft skills, really get honest with yourself about which ones of those you want to lean into in the next chapter,
I love
which
it.
ones of those you actually want to spend time doing and embodying. And then there might be stuff that you haven't had a chance to do yet that you really want to develop. There might be a skill set that you haven't had a chance to really, grow and learn in. There might be things that you want to bring in that you're brilliant at in your personal life, and you haven't really had a chance to bring that into your working life. Maybe you're brilliant at organization and you haven't been able to bring that to the fore. Maybe actually you're a leader amongst your friends and your family, and again, you haven't had a chance to really lean into the leadership role. Really get honest about what it is that you want and need. So I'd say that's something very practical
Very
to
much
do moving
so.
forward.
And I love the advice on the transferable skills. I think, again, as women, we tend to overlook so many skills that we've developed in every other aspect of our life, apart from our professional life, and we just struggle to make that connection. And it's just undeniable that there are so many things that we do outside of our professional lives that if we really take that time, as you say, to sit down and think about those transferable skills, it could unlock so many other things that we've potentially not even considered were possibilities, I suppose. So thank you so much. That's wonderful. So tell me a little bit more about what someone could expect if they were to sort of go, actually, I love what Donna's telling. That's exactly how I feel, and I'd love to find out more. Tell me a little bit about the journey that you take your clients on and the process and the support that they might expect.
Well, one of the biggest obstacles, and again, back to this idea of feeling stuck, is that people say, I don't know where to start. And I get it because it feels very overwhelming. You might have lots of decisions going round and round in your head. I could do this, I could do this, I could do that. And you sort of spin around in circles and circles, and you don't feel like you're ever progressing and moving forward. Or everything's so overwhelming that you just don't know where to begin. And that is one of the best things about working with a coach, and specifically with me, because I specialize in career change. I always say to clients, I know where to start. Don't worry. You're not going to have to come to a coaching session and be like, what should we talk about? It's like, I know what we need to talk about, and I know where we're
It's
going to need
quite
to start.
structured in that
It's
way.
very, very structured. And of course, with coaching, there's all different types of coaching and flavors of coaching. But specifically for me and how I coach people who are in career change, because they're often very lost and feeling, just spinning around in different directions, the process I take people through is very, very structured. And we start with this clarity piece around who you are now, who you want to be, like I've said, going through everything like values, how you want to be living, what's important to you in your life, your relationships, all of those things. And we really build out from there. The other thing that will really help people do is help them make decisions. The biggest thing people say is not only I don't know what I want, but then I don't know how to decide what's the right thing. So that's what we do, is we really work on creating a criteria for how you're going to make decisions. What are the things that are going to be really important? How are you going to develop the self-trust to make sure that you feel really good about a decision that you're going to go in? And part of that is really looking at potential career paths and interrogating them really thoroughly.
Yeah.
Sometimes people will be like, oh, I could quite like to do this, but I don't know how to think about it. And I feel a bit scared thinking about it. And it's like, that's how we want to bring that closer. Typically, our brains, whenever we have something we feel scared of, we try and push it away. It feels like, yeah. But that's why working with a coach is so great, because you can bring it closer in a safe environment and really interrogate it and work out if it's the right thing for you. And we want to work out everything from, like, if you're thinking of retraining, for example, we want to think about the logistics. What's the investment in time? What's the investment in money? What would it really look like to maybe go down in salary for a short period of time and work your way back up?
Yeah.
And how do you feel about that? Does it feel worth it? Are you willing to do that? Let's really go there and interrogate each of the options. And typically we're going to interrogate the option of staying doing what you're doing, so that you can really interrogate it thoroughly and be like, no, I'm definitely deciding to move on. And I'm not just moving away because it feels hard and right now I don't like it, or I don't like my current boss. I've really thought about it and I'm sure that this is the right decision for me to park that there and leave that there. So decision-making, interrogating different career paths is something that's really, really important, so that you feel really good about the career path you're then picking and deciding to move through.
Yeah.
And the next part of it is confidence. So when people have like a path where they're like, actually, I think this is it. I think this is what I really want to do. That's when all the fears come up, all the worries, lack of confidence, lack of self-belief. Again, it's very normal. We can expect it and not be worried by it, and then work through how to
overcome those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not about never having fear. It's just learning how to understand our brain, learning how to understand what our thoughts are, which of those thoughts are helpful, which other thoughts we might want to use instead that are going to be more constructive and more helpful and help us move forward. And how are we going to strengthen those new beliefs? How are we going to have the tools and techniques to think differently so that we're moving forward constantly and we've got some momentum behind us and we're actually taking action? And that's the final piece, right? That's when we map out the plan. What are the stepping stones to get from A to B? What are the things we need to do? And again, that's going to look different for everybody, depending what their particular career change journey is. For some people, it's going for a promotion. For others, it's a complete retrain in another industry.
Yep.
For others, it might just be a sideways step or starting a business or going freelance. That's when we get into the practical detail, so that you're actually taking steps and it's not just a pipe dream. You're actually moving forward and dealing with all the drama that might come up, but all the practical side, like, as you said, how to look at job descriptions in a way that's useful, and how to review your CV, how to practice interview skills, what techniques you can do to, you know, brush up on your interview skills, how you can write cover letters, all of that stuff comes at the end.
Yeah.
Right. But in my opinion, that's when it works best, because now if we wait until the end to be looking at LinkedIn, we know what we're looking for.
We're much more targeted, focused.
Yes. We're not spending hours like aimlessly scrolling. Yeah. We're being very focused and targeted. We know what we want. We also, when we're writing our CV at the end, we're doing it from a place of confidence. We're not procrastinating. Mm-hmm. We know why this is the right job for us, what skill sets we've got that are going to work. And it just makes the whole, it means we're going to take action from a completely different place.
Yeah.
And it just makes the whole process much easier.
Yeah.
If you wait until you've done the pre-work first before you start doing all those action steps.
And this is probably, you know, stating the obvious, but it's definitely something in my experience where I've worked with a coach on a personal level, is that accountability piece. Because I think for me, it was very much knowing that I'm going to go and meet with that person and have to kind of evidence that I've gone away and done the hard work behind the scenes. Because, I always say, looking for a job or changing careers, whatever, it's a job in itself. And I think having that accountability must be a really important part of the process.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, again, lots of people who have wanted to change careers or in that process might have wanted to do it for weeks, months. Mm-hmm. Typically it's months and quite often it's years.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I should be able to do it on my own. I should be able to, again, as women, we tend to think we should not need to ask for help. We should be able to do it on our own. But having that expert guidance, support, accountability just means that you're going to be taking action.
Yeah.
And it means that, yes, you've got the accountability because you're going to be trying to make sure you've got the things you've agreed you want to get done by the next session. But also if you haven't got it done or if you're struggling, then you've got someone who's there going, well, let's look at why.
Yeah.
Not just, oh, it doesn't matter or let's try again next week. It's like, no, let's look at why. What's come up?
Yeah.
Is it a skills gap? Is there something you don't know? Or is it mindset? Is your brain freaking out about writing your CV? Why? What can we do?
Yeah.
Let's change your thinking so that you can take action. That's the crucial part. And the other side of it is that really when you've tackled something like a career change and you found out it's not as hard as you think, you know, there's some simple steps that you can follow and you've designed the next chapter of your working life and then you've gone and started creating it for yourself, there is a confidence that comes on the other side of that that is just magical, basically. Mm-hmm. Like people tell me when they've come out the other side and they're working in a new career, they're like, I feel a sense of freedom and a sense of empowerment that you just don't get if you stay stuck and you stay with what you're trying to do, okay, that's not working.
Yeah.
You know, having tried something difficult, you know, again, working with a coach means that there's going to be times where you feel scared. There's going to be times where something doesn't go right, but you're going to learn how to be okay with it. You're going to learn how to manage your mind so that you've got your own back in that situation. And doing that and coming out the other side means you're going to be in such a stronger position and you are going to be different. Of course, there's going to be a visible change. You're going to have a different career, but there's going to be all these non-visible changes as well. You are going to think differently about yourself. You're going to think differently about challenging situations, because if you're in them again, you know that you can get yourself out of them. And there is so much empowerment that comes with that, which is the life-changing bit for me, I think.
Yeah. And I imagine the people around you who love you and who interact with you, your children, your, you know, your family partners, etc., they all experience that change, that shift, that empowerment, that confidence as well, which can only be a positive thing. So
yeah. And that's what's so crucial about this. That's what I always say to people. It's like, this isn't just about changing a job, because if it was, mm-hmm. of course you could go to LinkedIn and change your job. This is about changing you and your lifestyle. If you are very unhappy, and for, you know, lots of people who come to me, if they're feeling really, really stuck in their careers, often it turns up as, you know, increased anxiety. It might be affecting their sleep. It's 100% usually affecting how present they're able to be with their family and their friends. For many people, it's like this constant hum in the background of like, what should I be doing? How do I get out of this? Oh, I don't like this, you know? Yeah. And so when they're able to change that, you know, it bleeds into all other areas of their life, and the positivity of it, the change in who they are and their happiness, you know, it does affect family life. It does affect how you can interact with your friends and family. It really does, you know, change all elements of your life, not just your career. That's the kind of the importance of it, really.
Which brings me on to something that I'm sure you must hear and see a lot, particularly from women of a particular age or, you know, stage, where they or perhaps kind of coming to you and saying, oh, surely I'm too old to be thinking about this. This can't be, you know, the time that I should be thinking about a career change. Or maybe they feel very well established in a particular sector or industry and they just think, you know, it's too late. I'm too far down the line in this sector or this industry or whatever it might be. What advice do you give people who come to you with kind of saying, well, no, I think it's a bit too late, or, you know, how do you overcome that mindset or help them overcome that mindset?
Yeah, well, the first thing to recognize is that it is a mindset. It's a thought, right? Thinking it's too late for me, or I've left it too late, or I should have started sooner. That is just a thought you're having. It is not the truth. It is not a fact, right? And the reason that we know it's not a fact is because there are other people of your age also changing their careers. The other reason we know it's like a thought error and not a truth for you is I have people come to me, like typically I work with people in their, you know, around their 40s and early 50s, but I have worked with people in their late 20s and early 30s, and they will come to me and they will say, I've left it too late, I'm too old. And then people in their 30s will say, I'm too old.
Yeah.
People in their 40s will say, I'm too old. People in their 50s, I've just signed, you know, started working with a new client who's 61, right? So the point is, it is not actually about your age. It's about what you're thinking in that moment and the obstacles that you feel are in front of you. And so if you take that away and you actually start approaching the obstacles and start problem solving for those, then it gives you that much, that greater freedom to be like, well, why am I thinking I'm too old? What is it that I'm really thinking is in front of me? And so firstly, I mean, I'll get into those in a minute, but firstly, just to say that, you know, I have people changing careers at all of those ages, right? Yeah. So like I say, people are changing careers.
So you've got the evidence to back that up. Yeah.
So there is, number one, there is evidence that it's happening. Number two, there's loads of evidence. If you surround yourself and look for it in society, there is lots of evidence of people changing careers in later life. You know, there's plenty of famous people who've changed careers. I think Arianna Huffington didn't start the Huffington Post until she was 55. You know, there's Vera Wang, the clothing designer, didn't start designing bridal dresses until her 40s. You've got Iris Apfel, the kind of, who was a model later in life. I think she was in her 90s when she got signed as a model. There's this amazing coder in Japan whose story I was reading about recently. She retired from a career in banking and when she was 81 started learning how to code. Now she's like 87 or 88, I think, and she's now got a whole new career as a digital evangelist for older people in Japan. She's designed an app at the age of like 85. So there is life.
There's definitely beyond, hope then. Yeah.
There's definitely hope to learn new things. But also, you know, there's plenty of ordinary people that I know that are in networks that I'm in who've started training in their 40s and 50s. You know, my mother-in-law mm-hmm. trained as a counsellor in her 60s. It's just not true that people can't. So you've got to then come back to like, why do I think I'm too old? What are the actual obstacles that I think are in place? So like you said, some people might be thinking about money. I've got to mm-hmm. a certain salary. I've got a mortgage to pay. And of course, we've got to be really practical about it. But if you take away the I'm too old bit and you go, right, how can I resolve the money issue? Then you get into a much more constructive place of problem solving. What is the minimum viable income that I need? How could I create that income? Where could I go? Would I be willing to go down in income for a certain amount of time? Where could I make savings elsewhere? You know, and then, you know, where could I go up in income later on, whatever it is. The other thing you mentioned there is this idea of like, I've got to a certain seniority in this industry. Lots of people worry, oh, I'd have to start from scratch. If I change now, I'd have to start from scratch. And typically that just isn't true because you're never going to be typically we're imagining ourselves when we were sort of 18, 19, 20 at the beginning of the workplace that we're going to have to start and that we're going to feel like we felt back then, like a real sort of beginner, not knowing anything. You know so much now, which means you're going to be starting from a place of experience, not from a place of like as a complete beginner. You've got emotional resilience, you've got emotional skills, you've got communication skills, you've got all of the transferable skills that hopefully we would have identified working together that are going to mean that even if you change industries and you're retraining, you're still starting from a place of experience. It's going to put you in a position that will be, you know, beneficial maybe above an 18-year-old who's just retraining in that same thing that you are, right? Yeah. You've got that life experience that is incredibly valuable to help you make a success of something. Yeah. And yes, you might have to go into an industry if you choose to retrain completely at an entry level, but that's part of the decision making. Am I willing to do that? Is it going to be worth it? And for a lot of people, they don't completely retrain. They might just go and do something adjacent to their current career or something that's slightly different or in a different industry or a different type of company. So, you know, if that does feel, or if we, when we get into it, that it's not something that you want to do, then you can do something else that's more adjacent and that uses your transferable skills that you've got.
And you know, from my perspective anyway, those employers that are open to that tend to benefit from the diversity of thought that people bring to the table when they come from other sectors and industries. And, you know, that's really what organizations should be working towards, is bringing more of that diversity into their organizations. I know that's quite idealistic, but, you know,
Well, it is, but it is also true that a lot more companies are changing the way they think about it. And the reality is that a lot more people do just have a non-linear career now. Lots of people have experience mm-hmm. from lots of different areas. Having a portfolio career is just seen as acceptable now. So it isn't as unusual as it might have been, you know, 20 years ago to do that. And lots of employers see the benefit. You're able to believe in the value that you bring from a previous career or a previous job, you will be able to communicate that really well, and you will be able to help overcome fears that potential employers might have, because you'll be able to talk to it and be like, no, this is why it's going to be great. This is why I have the value. This is why my skills and experience means that I can learn and I can develop, and there's nothing to be feared here, right? And if you show up in that way and you're able to articulate it, that goes a long way to kind of bridging some of the doubts a potential employer might have.
And that's potentially, you know, the magic that you bring to the table in sort of helping people identify, being able to overcome perhaps those pushbacks that they may get from employers and position it in a really positive way. So, yes, wonderful. Well, I think we have covered so much. And sadly, we are running out of time, Donna. But thank you so much for sharing, you know, so many practical tips and, you know, such great advice, particularly coming from the perspective of having, you know, done it so successfully yourself. So thank you so much for your time.
It's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
I hope you've all enjoyed today's conversation as much as I have. I'm sure Donna raised a number of points that resonated with many of you today. And the best bit is that there are practical steps we can take to build our confidence and face our fears when it comes to making changes or taking risks that could ultimately, as Donna described, be life-changing for us and for our families. You can find Donna's details and more information on her services by visiting the Careering into Motherhood website. And I'd also encourage you to follow her on Instagram, LinkedIn, or Facebook, where Donna regularly posts some great content and keeps her followers updated on her freshest thinking and top tips. Lastly, Donna has a brilliant, simple training video that outlines 5 simple steps that you can take to start taking action and make changes that you want to make in your life and career. Thanks very much for joining me today.